Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music and for a loud microphone. Amen. So, all right. What a blessing it is once again just to be in the Lord's house tonight. I know this is Wednesday night, and so everyone does feel like a little bit wore out this week. I don't know if it's because my wife has worked you too hard at the conference work nights or what, but we need to draw upon that energy that you have remaining and stay into the service tonight. Go ahead and stand with me. If you have your Bibles, look with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 47. Genesis, chapter 47. Praise the Lord. Yet, as I often say, getting here is half the battle. And you won that half the battle. And you don't want to lose the second half of the battle. The second half of the battle is you got to plug into what's going on, receive what God has for us. And we've already been blessed just being here and being encouraged. Everyone that's here has been an encouragement to everyone else that's here tonight. It's an encouragement to see others who have a desire and will actually sacrifice because you see the need to assembling ourselves together as the Word of God tells us to. And coming out on Wednesday nights, everyone has other things they could have been doing. If it's any more, nothing more than just sleeping, all right? Taking a nap before you go to sleep tonight, whatever it might be. But you chose to be in church tonight, which is a spiritual choice. The flesh did not tell you to come tonight. And Satan did not tell you to come tonight. But the Spirit of God did. And your spirit revealed the blessing of being in church. And so, praise the Lord for getting here. And again, I believe that God has something for us. The life of Joseph, it's been a tremendous study. We're coming to the end of the life of Joseph, and it's just been such a practical study. I have really enjoyed preparing to preach and to teach on the life of Joseph, especially when we're seeing these principles that are very applicable to our lives today, and we've been studying those and applying them. And so I think tonight, again, we have another very powerful message from the life of Joseph to apply to our lives. And so let's look here in Genesis chapter 47, and start reading in verse 7, and we'll read down to verse 10. And Joseph brought in Jacob, his father, and set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, How old art thou? Jacob said unto Pharaoh, The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you, again, we thank you, Lord, for this another privilege and opportunity to be in church tonight. Thank you for each one that have taken advantage of the opportunity to be here. Now as we have assembled, I pray, God, that each one would sense your presence here and that they would have a desire to receive that which you have for them. I pray that you would anoint me and use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, the theme of the life of Joseph has been, God is able to work all things out for good. God is able to work all things out for good. And that's taught in the New Testament as well in Romans 8:28. And so it is a truth that we have to live by and a promise from God. Last week, we find that Joseph meets Jacob after 22 years, thinking that his son was dead. 22 years, been living with a lie, a life based on a lie, the thinking that God was not going to use Joseph, and possibly even the Abrahamic covenant had been taken away from whatever it could have been, 22 years. Nothing was really accomplished in the life of Jacob, and God was working in the life of Joseph, and possibly even in the other boy's life, but Jacob had not accomplished anything. 22 years living under the deception of a lie. And if you're not careful, Satan will blind you with a lie. It'll keep each one of us from accomplishing what God has us to accomplish. Don't believe the devil's lies. And hold on to the truths. Make sure that you have the Bible helping you to understand the truth. And once you know it's truth, hold on to it. And don't give up on it. And so we find there 22 years. But now Jacob realizes Joseph's alive. God tells Jacob to go, that it's his will for Jacob to take Israel into Egypt. And there he was going to establish and bless them. But Joseph meets Jacob. We saw that last Wednesday night. The chosen family of God is now in the perfect will of God. All the boys have rededicated their lives, look back to God through what Joseph took them through. They realize their repentance. And now the whole family is got rid of the lies, and they have reconciled. And now we have an established family that God would work through to establish the 12 tribes of Israel. And so now they're all in the will of God, in the perfect will of God. It was tough going, but all would say, if that's what it took to get us to where we are today, it was well worth it. Now that's a blessing there. We study that, and that's if you're in the will of God today and you understand the blessings of being in the middle of God's will, you'll say, whatever God had to do in my life to get me to this place, well worth it. There's a great peace in the will of God. There's joy in the will of God. And so whatever it takes to get there, it might be tough going. But you stay in the will of God. It's not an easy life. But yet it's a blessed life. And we encouraged everyone last week just to, whatever it might be. It might be tough right now, but just stay focused on the will of God. Well, Jacob now is going to meet Pharaoh. Joseph has the privilege to bring his father and his employer, the man that has lifted him up out of prison and has placed him, given him this position of right-hand man to the emperor of Egypt. Now Joseph has the privilege of bringing these two together. And it's a blessing to see this. Verse 7, the Bible says, "And Joseph brought in Jacob, his father, and set him before Pharaoh." Now, by this world's standards, Jacob would have been of much less importance than Pharaoh. Now, if you would picture in your mind these two standing side by side, Joseph's in the middle. And these two standing side by side, Jacob's appearance would have been that of a shepherd. He would have had shepherd's clothing on. He would have appeared in every area. He would not have had any kind of cologne on, outside of maybe sheep cologne, to make him feel closer to the animals. His clothing would have been probably something that his wife made for him. Standing next to the emperor of Egypt, the Pharaoh of the most powerful nation on planet Earth, with all of his garb, his nails would have been manicured. He'd have had all the perfumes of the day. It had the best clothing of probably pure silk robes, whatever it might have been. Can you picture both of them? Now, Joseph was the mediator. Joseph was the key to bringing these two together. Because the truth is, without Joseph's testimony, Pharaoh would never have had any desire to meet Jacob. Why would an emperor want to fellowship with a shepherd? We've already studied as the Egyptians looked at shepherds as some low class individuals. It was an abomination for an Egyptian to be identified with a shepherd, to eat with a shepherd. They thought of themselves as being so much better than anyone else, especially a lowly shepherd. Joseph being the common bond between this Pharaoh, and Joseph being the common bond between his father, whom he loved, whom he appreciated, whom he knew to be a great man, and now he has known this emperor, this Pharaoh, to likewise become somebody that he would have loved, to likewise become somebody that he would look to and realize was a blessing to his life and would allow him to talk to him about his God. We've already studied some of that in the past. Joseph had already established a testimony as to the great God that he served. That was key to be able to stand before Pharaoh and present his father to Pharaoh. Because Joseph realized, and he told Pharaoh, I can't interpret your dream. I can't do anything for you. You don't need what I have to offer. But you do need what my God has to offer you. You do need what I needed when I looked to God, and you do need what I needed when I trusted in the Lord. You do need what I needed all through my trials of life, when I was sold by my brothers, when I went into prison, when all these things happened, I was lied to, and I was going through the troubles of life. You do need the help of my God. He'd established that testimony with Pharaoh. And there's no doubt as Joseph now had been put in a position by Pharaoh to oversee everything of the land of Egypt. The only one that Joseph answered to was Pharaoh. There was no go-betweens. And so as Joseph had only Pharaoh to answer to, there was no doubt Joseph was going over his plans to save Egypt from the 7 years of famine. No doubt during the 7 years of plenty, there was maybe a little bit of doubt in Pharaoh's mind to really have a need for a Joseph. Because for the first 7 years of the plan here, they were just going to start putting back the food. They was going to grow all they could grow during the 7 plentiful years. And Joseph had already told Pharaoh that there's going to be 7 plentiful years, and then there's going to be 7 years of famine like never heard of before. During the plentiful years, there was no need for Joseph outside of he believed that there was coming a judgment day. Outside of Pharaoh believed in the God of Joseph telling him that there was going to be 7 years of famine. And if he believed there to be 7 years of famine, then he would have need of the wisdom of Joseph to prepare Egypt for this famine. It took faith. It took faith in Pharaoh for the 7 plentiful years to keep Joseph in the position that he had. And so Joseph would have been talking to Pharaoh. I don't know how often. I know that in any successful business, you have to stay in touch with your employees. Amen. Every Monday we have a staff meeting with the staff of the church, and we go over what took place on Sunday, what's going on in each one of their ministries. We go over what's going on this next week, and we start planning ahead, knowing how we can help each other to accomplish what God has us here to accomplish. There has to be organization. There has to be a time to meet together and say, all right, let's work together here to get the most done, to accomplish the greatest amount of things that we can accomplish. There's no doubt, knowing Pharaoh and knowing Joseph would have been a very perfectionist type of individual. I mean, he was keen on detail, wanted to make sure everything it was in its place. I mean, this is the type of man he had to be, a great administrator, to be able to put together this plan that God had for him, so when the 7 years of famine would come, that they would have enough. So we find that no doubt Joseph and Pharaoh would have spent much time together. As we understand what the Bible says about their relationship and the mutual respect that they would have for each other during those 7 plentiful years. And as they was going over these things, no doubt Pharaoh would have been asking him about his God. And Joseph, knowing that I have nothing to offer, it's only my God that's brought me to this place. It's only through the grace of God that you was able to look upon me and you called me in. It was God who gave me wisdom to interpret, but it was God who you needed. So Joseph would have been there revealing to Pharaoh who his God was. In order for Pharaoh to understand the God of Israel, he would have had to understand the Abrahamic covenant. And from the Abrahamic covenant, how that Abraham had a son whose name was Isaac, that was passed on the blessings of God. And Isaac would have had a son that would be the one who had the birthright that would carry on the blessings of Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant. And so there's no doubt in my mind for Pharaoh to have understood the God of Joseph, that Joseph would have had to have these opportunities to share his faith with Pharaoh. Especially once the 7 years of famine started. And Pharaoh's faith is increased. And Pharaoh now knows God is real. Joseph couldn't have made something like this up. He could not have known that the 7 year famine was coming. Only God, somebody that could see into the future, could give this kind of prophecy. We're in the book of Revelation right now, and it's all coming together as you look at the prophecies and what's going to take place after the rapture of the church and the 7 year. Only God can reveal those things. And so we find here that Pharaoh, now that the 7 years of famine had begun, was well into it, 2-3 years into it now, and he realized without the wisdom of Joseph, which came by the way of Joseph's God, we would be like the rest of the world. We would be like all the other people around us. We would be starving to death. Nowhere to turn. No hope for survival. His faith would have increased. Amen? Everybody in agreement with me? Just reading the Bible, understanding what's there, no doubt about it. Pharaoh's faith has increased. And understanding not just who Joseph is. And I believe after the famine started, he would have been even more inquisitive. Now, tell me more about the Abrahamic covenant. Remember, Joseph didn't answer to anybody. He had to meet with Pharaoh. Especially once all the famine started, Pharaoh would want to know, are we sure everything? Are we sure we got enough? Is it going to last for the 7 years? You understand it, whatever it might have been. And so Joseph was reassuring Pharaoh, it's just as God told us. We knew this was coming. And he would explain to him what he was doing, and he would be accountable to Pharaoh. He'd be telling Pharaoh all the plans, and Pharaoh would have been more inquisitive as to Joseph's God. There would have been opportunity for Pharaoh to learn about Abraham. He'd have to understand the God of Israel. Isaac, the patriarchs, have to in order to understand about the God of Israel. But not only that, the one that was alive today, Jacob. So, your dad's still alive? And your dad is kin to Isaac, who was the son of Abraham and whom God met with and gave this great promise? Are you following me? Joseph would have told him that Jacob, his father, was a great man in God's eyes. When you look at him, you're going to see a shepherd. Realize he's much more than just a shepherd. And you look at him, when the people looked on Christ, when he walked the face of the earth, he looked like just an ordinary man. But realize, he's much more than just an ordinary man. He's a great man in God's eyes. He's a great man because through this Abrahamic covenant, it would be Jacob would be the chosen one of God to father the promised seed or the 12 tribes of Israel. He's the one that God would change his name from Jacob to Israel. And he has would choose him to father the 12 tribes. And a little bit more than that, it would be through the 12 tribes and the tribe of Judah that the promised seed, the Savior of the world, would come. That was his faith. That was Joseph's faith. That was the faith of the Old Testament. The Messiah is coming. He's going to come through the promised seed. In order for Pharaoh to understand Joseph's God, Joseph would tell him these things. Genesis chapter 12. Let's be reminded here. This is what he would have first of all told him as far as the God of Israel. And where it started with the promise to Abraham. This Abrahamic covenant. In Genesis chapter 12 verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house and the land I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee. Pharaoh, God promised that if you bless him, God's going to bless you. Now that's important. Pharaoh gave up the best land of Egypt to Jacob and Joseph's brothers, his family, the 70 that came out. His own property. A place where his own cattle were. We studied that last week. The best land in all of Egypt. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And Joseph says, Pharaoh, Dad's coming. You mean the one and only Jacob? The only one that's alive today, the patriarchs of Israel? The one that actually carries the promises of the God that you have introduced me to? Yeah, that's him. Now picture them standing before each other. Jacob in shepherd's garb. Pharaoh, the world will look at the two of them and say, why is this man with this man? Look at all the worldly good, everything this man, why would he associate with this lowly shepherd? And all the host angels of heaven are saying, looking down and saying, that's Jacob. What is he doing with Pharaoh? What's this great man doing with this lost sinner? Amen. It's heaven's point of view versus the world's point of view. And we better be careful. There we go. As to what view we take. Are we taking the world's view more often than we take the heavenly view? Wow. He carried the blessings of God. The world used to view pastors in a position of honor. They don't do that anymore. Jacob meets Pharaoh. Jacob is the one that blesses Pharaoh. Not the opposite. Pharaoh doesn't bless Jacob. The emperor of Egypt, when Jacob comes through the door into his presence, even though he is seen and looks at as a lowly shepherd, because of Joseph's testimony to Pharaoh, Pharaoh's regard for Jacob is so high that Pharaoh says, I desire you to bless me. Jacob blesses Pharaoh. Now, the word bless there, if you see there in chapter 47, verse 7, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh, the word bless is the same word used back in Genesis chapter 27. Look back to Genesis chapter 27, verse 26. The very same Hebrew word used to describe this great blessing, the very same blessing that the Bible uses when Isaac blessed Jacob. Verse 26. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him. And blessed him. Right there it is. He's looking to bless him with the blessings of God from the Abrahamic covenant. He's passing on this blessing that came to Abraham and now went to Isaac and now was to go to it's the blessing of the firstborn, which Jacob has this blessing. And he said, see, the smell of my son is a smell of a field which the Lord had blessed. Blessed. Therefore, God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee and blessed be he that blesseth thee. Pharaoh knew that this man that was standing before him was a great man in God's eyes, because he had heard the testimony of his son, Joseph. And when this man came into his presence, he said, I want whatever blessings you can bless me with. I know you carry the blessings of this great God. I want you to bless me. That's powerful stuff. But the key was Joseph. Joseph knew of his father's worth. And because he knew of his father's worth, Pharaoh desired Jacob's blessing. You know, recommendations move others to want the same things. If somebody regards you, they look at you, and especially if you're a food connoisseur, if you really, and you tell them, hey, this restaurant is a grip, I guarantee you, they're wanting to go to try that restaurant based on your recommendation. Based on your recommendation, they hear because you say to them, this is a great restaurant. They have great food. They have great service. And when that person's ready to go to a restaurant, they're going to think, well, we have the recommendation. We have a lot to, let's go there. You see somebody that's lost 30 pounds and they recommend the diet that they just was on. You're thinking, well, that's my diet right there, because I see you losing 30 pounds. I want to lose that 30 pounds. I'm going to go on that very same diet. And based on their recommendation. Now, somebody come in, they gain 20 pounds, they say, boy, let me tell you about a good diet. You're going to say, I don't want that diet. I've been on that for the last several years. That's that seafood diet, you know, where you just eat everything you see. Just whatever food. But anyway, the recommendation here, once they live up to that place, and you recommend that, then people are going to appreciate that, and they're going to want what you have. Remedies. That's something that a lot, if somebody knows that you have a problem, I'm going to tell you, you're going to find people come out of the woodwork to tell you their remedies for that. Amen. But when you see somebody that it works, and you can identify, you're going to go back and say, tell me again, what helped you? How'd you get through that? Because of their testimony. Pharaoh would have desired it, the blessings of Jacob, because of the testimony of Joseph. I believe this Pharaoh would have received it once he saw, especially once he saw it come to pass. In Exodus in chapter 1, just a couple pages over, I want you to see this. Exodus chapter 1, verse 8 says, "Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph." And he didn't regard Joseph's God, because he didn't have the testimony of Joseph. He started becoming a taskmaster. He started making them slaves. The first Pharaoh, the Pharaoh that welcomed them the best, gave them the best land because of Joseph's testimony, he regarded all of Israel, especially Jacob. Pharaoh wanted to know more about Jacob, wanted to know how old he was. Verses 9 and 10, we find that in verse 9, "Then Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. He wanted to know more about this Jacob, because I've heard much about you, Jacob, and I understand you to be the one that had the carries the blessings of God, and I want you to bless me. I want to know more about you because I want to know more about your God." He would have told him that he was 130 years old and he thought he was coming to the end of his life, which he was. And he said that Isaac, his father, had lived 180 years. And then Abraham, before him, had lived 175 years. But the idea there is Pharaoh wanted to know more about his heritage, the blessings of God. The application. I think, hopefully you can already see it. But let's look to John chapter 13. Just a few more minutes and we're done. John chapter 13. Who is the key? The key was the mediator between Jacob and Pharaoh. Jacob having the blessings that Pharaoh needed. And Egypt was blessed during those years, because they blessed Israel, then God in return blessed Egypt. And as Israel grew, Egypt grew in power and wealth, in numbers, because of their blessing. But Joseph was the key. Jacob would have never met Pharaoh, and Pharaoh would have never met Jacob if it had not been for the testimony of Joseph. In John chapter 13, in verse 34, the Bible says, Jesus, speaking to his disciples, says this, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you." Not that you love one another. That's not a new commandment. The new commandment was, use my love for you as an example. They hadn't experienced that before. They knew they were supposed to love, but not, they never experienced the love of Christ. And once he would die for them, they would even have a greater appreciation for the love that he had for them. And they would even understand even more so how they were to love one another. "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you." That was a new commandment. That's what made it new. That's what added a little bit more to it. But look what he says, "that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know your testimony." All men will know this because of your testimony that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. God wants us to have a testimony that links us to Christ. And our testimony that links us to Christ is what others need to be able to be introduced to Christ. Wasn't for Joseph having a testimony of God and Jacob, Jacob would have never met Pharaoh. Pharaoh would have never had a desire to meet Jacob. Thus, he would have never had a desire to receive Jacob's God. How do we present Christ? If somebody else's desire for Christ would rest upon how you present Christ to them, how many people that you know would want the Christ that you represent? That's why Jesus said, love's the key. Not just love as the world loves, but love as I loved you. And when others see you love them like I loved you, they'll want me. Because then you can introduce them to me. You can tell them why you're able to love them that way. You can tell them that's why you have the testimony that you have, because you're following after Christ. How do we present Christ? How do we present the importance of His church? Now, you're here on Wednesday night. Praise the Lord for that. That's a testimony right there. Everyone else here looking at you is encouraged because they see your love for the church to be here on a Wednesday night. And that's a testimony that would encourage them to want to be here on a Wednesday night. Amen? Everyone that's here tonight has just encouraged everyone else that's here tonight in having a desire to show up on Wednesday night, which reveals the importance of the church. Your children see your testimony as having a desire to be here on Wednesday night as showing importance to the church. Every time you come Sunday morning, you are revealing to your children and you're revealing to everyone else that knows that you come to church on Sunday morning, you're telling them the church is important. Every time you come back Sunday night, you're telling those around you the church is important. Every time you tell someone, I can't do that because it's church, you're telling them of its importance. When you tell them, oh yeah, I can go to church anytime, let's go do this, you're telling them it's not important. When you have family members, maybe lost family members, come to your house and you stay home with them, you're telling them it's really not important. Well, preacher, I don't want to be rude to my family. What's more important, you being rude to your family, or you telling them that the importance of the church? You're telling them that Christ is important and His church is important and they need Christ and they need the church. My, that's what Joseph did. He just told Pharaoh, my God is what you need. And my father, well, he is one of the patriarchs. He is carrying the blessings of God. And so when Jacob comes into Pharaoh's presence, Pharaoh says, bless me. I want your blessings. I don't see you as a shepherd. I see you as a very great man of God who has something that I not only desire, but you have something that I need. Bless me. Without Joseph's testimony, Pharaoh would never have had a desire to meet Jacob. Without your testimony, those are going to be people that only you can reach, that no one else is going to reach. And without your testimony, they will never reach out to Christ, because they have been fed a lie and they've already rejected Him. They've rejected the church. They rejected the things of God. They rejected the Bible. And God has you there with your testimony to show them that that's what you need. That's what you need. Joseph desired to bring these two together. In closing, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Hopefully you'll better understand this now. I believe this is right, this is it right here. This is that principle presented to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Now, this present church age, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Joseph looked at Pharaoh and says, I'm just an ambassador. He looked to Jacob and said, I'm your ambassador. Let me present you let me bring the two of you together. And as he brought the two together, they realized Pharaoh, the one that had this world's goods, he realized that he needed what this great man in God's eyes had to offer. That's the very same way in this world today. You might not have everything this world has. People of this world might not look to you with the greatness in their view. But I guarantee you, God sees you, and you are a great person in God's eyes, for you are His ambassador to a lost and dying world. What a great story. What a great principle. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Jacob meets Pharaoh. And instead of Pharaoh blessing Jacob, Pharaoh desires the blessings. He desires Jacob to bless him. How are we representing Christ? How are we representing the need and the importance of the church? How are we representing the importance of the Bible, the Word of God? Where others want what you have because of your testimony? I trust we'll work on presenting the love of Christ, the ways of Christ, as we ought to present them. Not going to have a musical invitation, very seldom do on Wednesday night, but right now there is an invitation. If you need to respond in any way, the altars are open. Just there at your pew, bow before the Lord.